Educational Communications and this station present Environmental Directions with Nancy Perlman. On this series, we explore the effects of human influence on the Earth's ecosystems and discuss solutions to environmental problems which affect the quality of life on this planet. Environmental Directions gives you the kind of information you need to help you participate in decisions impacting your community, the nation, and the world. Now, here's your host, Nancy Perlman.
Hello. We are going to be talking about plays and how they explore how environments impact people with my guest, Tira Palmquist. She is a playwright, a play director, and a dramaturg. She is currently a teacher of writing at the Orange County School of the Arts and has taught at the University of California, Irvine and Wesleyan University. She has had many of her plays in festivals and have won many awards, has written over 15 plays, including 2 Degrees, The Way North, Memory of Winter, and King Margaret. And her current play is The Body's Midnight, which is at the IMA Theater Company and Boston Court, Pasadena. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
I thoroughly enjoyed reading your play and looking forward to seeing The Body's Midnight because you took an interesting twist of how a woman is losing her memory and using it as a parallel of how we're losing some of our natural environment. Could you explain this connection?
Absolutely. For me, the personal and the environmental is inextricably connected. When I began to write the play, it really was a way of processing a potential terrible diagnosis. And then as I was working on the possible route that these people would be making through the United States, I realized that her personal situation was being played out in the very environment they were driving through. And it's both social, cultural, and environmental, I suppose. On the one hand, there are these places in the United States that I think don't get very much credit for being wonderful and beautiful, in part because we have kind of a flyover syndrome in our country, right? There are these little hidden pockets of beauty everywhere in the United States. But then also, I think we have a kind of a blindness about what's happening in the environment. We have very, very short memories about how things are changing right in front of us.
That is so true.
And so we can go to a place like Zion or in the play Glacier National Park and not realize that there have really been some important environmental degradations going on recently and continue to happen. And we just think of, oh, how pretty. It's like, yeah, except that there are some real costs to that blindness of what's actually happening in the environment.
It is very hard when one visits a beautiful place like our national parks and sees the beauty to realize that beauty wasn't always that way and that there have been changes. And you mentioned Glacier National Park. There, the glaciers are melting and there are only about 25 left.
Yep. I suppose one might say, well, what am I supposed to do about that? And I think that there are choices that each of us make in our lives about what we make important to us and that what we do day in and day out has an impact on the environment, just as the environment is having an impact on us. I was reading an article in the New York Times just today about how climate change is already affecting our health, our mental health, and to think that there's no impact or no connection between the rapidly warming climate and our day-to-day lives is just kind of foolish. So I think that that's one of the reasons why I've been pretty obsessed with this topic.
And the way that you incorporated that topic in a personal exploration of a couple traveling across to visit their daughter, hoping to get there before the birth of their first grandchild, and what they encountered along the way in terms of the natural environment. It was really great that you were able to make those kinds of parallels and relationships. I found it really interesting how they responded to the quaking aspen. Can you tell us about this beautiful tree?
Yes, it's called Pando, or the Pando. This is particular spot in Utah. This is a large organism, and when you encounter it, it seems to be just many trees, hundreds of acres of trees, but in fact, all of these aspens are interconnected through this interconnected root system, so that it's a huge individual entity with these eruptions of trees coming out of it. The fact that you're inside this giant organism, it's pretty spectacular. It too is disappearing, and to be inside of something that's disappearing and to be meditating and reflecting on your own disappearance, I think that for me became a very profound internal metaphor of what on earth that Anne and David are doing on this journey.
I don't think that most people realize that Pando is one tree, because it looks like many different trees. Is it 13 million pounds of biomass spread over 100 acres?
That is what I've read, yes.
These people encountered it in your play. How would you describe their reaction? Because one should see the play to really get the feeling for it, but maybe you could share that with us.
I think there's a feeling of awe about this incredible natural phenomenon, and also a real sense of loss, or a sense of the profound loss that's ahead of us. It's one of those moments in life when you feel really quite small in the face of something almost beyond us. So even to say that you're in awe of it, it's not quite the right descriptor for it, but it is quite profound, this witnessing of this giant organism, and to be part of it, or to try to be part of it, I think it's humbling.
I kept waiting to see what other natural features they were going to encounter as they went through prairies in Nebraska and Minnesota. They ran into peony bushes, lilac bushes, bears, petroglyphs, dinosaur prints. It must have been tough to decide what to include. Was this a journey that you took, and from your personal experiences, were putting your reactions to the characters in your play?
In part, yeah. I haven't taken this precise journey, but I have driven across the United States several times, and I've been to many of these places. Not all of them, but many of them. It was really a matter of trying to find those places, those disappearing places that I felt were both, one, plausibly on the way to St. Paul, Minnesota, but also were exciting enough for the play, right? That struck the right sense of wonder and awe. To a certain extent, I did build on my own experience of being on the road and finding something quite by surprise that you didn't know was going to be there, and taking the risk of getting off the freeway or the highway to go experience it for yourself rather than rushing right through. And those are some of the best trips I've ever had, when you're willing to have a certain sense of improvisation about your travels to say, hey, wait, no, let's go there. Let's see what's over there. So yeah, the journey and the play is based in part on some of my own road trips, and in part based on my very careful dramaturgy of the road trip that they were about to encounter.
I look forward to seeing or reading so many of your other plays, which have won many awards, from the Kilroy's List to the O'Neill National Playwrights Conference finalist award, to the Bay Area Playwrights Festival, the Blue Ink Playwriting Award. You've been commissioned to write different projects, different plays for different groups and theater companies. You've written plays for graduate acting students, and you've had your plays in festivals like the New American Plays, the Human Rights New Works Festival, the Page by Page Festival, the Rhodes Theater Summer New Works. So many. This one, I'm sure, is going to be in many festivals too that people can see, but I'm curious why you called it The Body's Midnight, and what does that mean?
That is something that came out of an actual conversation I had with my husband. We were talking about, I was traveling, I was on the phone with him, and I was trying to describe that odd moment when you're totally out of sync with everyone else in their time zone, and you have your own internal time zone, having flown over many, many time zones. We sort of chuckled because I described it as being midnight inside my body, and that became the title. But it also describes something else that's going on for Anne. This idea of traveling towards midnight, that road to a kind of a dissolution, of a darkness. And so that idea of what it means to travel toward that eventual outcome, how scary that can be, and what it means to prepare for that. That's what the title is about.
I think it is very difficult to incorporate environmental themes into plays and movies because, on the one hand, it's easy to show the beauty of nature, but it's sad to show the destruction of nature. And it's sad to show how people are being polluted by the toxics and the other chemicals in our environment, how we are suffering from mismanaged human development in our environment, and how to be positive when there's so much negativity. How are you able to blend the environmental theme into your various plays?
That is an excellent question that is probably going to be a longer answer than you could possibly have on your radio show, but I will say this. For me, it's all about the personal. If you can't make it real for the individual, for the characters in your plays, whether it's a sense of loss or foreboding or panic or anxiety, then I don't think that you can make those larger issues real. As I was preparing for this interview and I was thinking back on all of my plays in which there is a measure of the environment reflected in the plays, it is often about that conflict that we have in our own agenda, like our own personal agenda, and how the world might have a different agenda for us, but also that sense of how we are bound to the world around us.
We are certainly bound to the world around us. There's no question about that. But we can also choose to use our time to go and see theatrical productions. It's quite different in person. When can they see your play, The Body's Midnight? Where can they get more information about you?
The opening weekend is April 27th. The play runs until the end of May, and there's information on tickets at the Boston Court website. That's where you're going to find the information about the show, as well as other special events, special talkbacks, special like affinity nights for different populations.
And your website?
My website is kirapalmquist.com. TIRAPALMQUIST.com.
How do you sum up the theme and the story presented in your current play, The Body's Midnight?
The theme is a road trip, and in part it's a road trip for a particular purpose, but it also becomes a journey for the couple about Anne's diagnosis and how they're going to prepare for that. So I say that the play is really about what it means to get lost, what it means to disappear, and what we can do to perhaps forestall that.
As a writer, as a playwright, you're always thinking of the next project, even though you're working on the current project. So what are some of the new ideas that you want to explore about how people are relating to the environment? And is there an environment that you would really like to share with us?
One of my current plays that I'm working on is called Memory of Winter, and it's about what's happening to the Great Lakes. And that's part of my childhood, growing up in that part of the world, and I'm really interested in exploring all of the specific, very local aspects of climate change, not just the huge issues that seem beyond us, but the little things that are right at our door.
The American public is very focused on television and film, but you are still involved with live theater, small theater.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get those messages that you present in a smaller context into the bigger world?
I really think of the environment as another character in the play. And while it's true that on the stage you can't necessarily show a lot of the exterior world, you can suggest it with really good design, with lights, with sound. So there's an interesting thing that happens in theater when there is something big happening off stage, whether it's a terrible big thing like in Greek theater, or it's a wonderful big thing like the majesty of the Grand Canyon. And I think that we can suggest those giant worlds even on a small stage.
Is it the hope of playwrights that their plays will be translated into a film?
It's not necessarily my immediate hope. It's true that I am currently working on 2, possibly 3 adaptations of my plays for the screen, but I am still a huge fan of the theater, and I think that there is something remarkable about what happens with the face-to-face live event of theater and that communion that happens with a live audience. But I don't think we can get very many other places.
I certainly feel a difference when I'm in a theater listening and watching live actors versus what I see on a screen in a movie theater on television. So there is definitely a place for all kinds of productions.
Absolutely.
Thank you so very much for writing these plays. Thank you so very much for being my guest.
Well, thank you. It was really a pleasure to talk to you.
I have been talking to Tira Palmquist, who is a playwright, play director, and dramaturg, as well as a teacher of writing.